Hello and welcome to Real Talk. Real Talk is the show that seeks to answers to questions large and small. And today, our question is, how in the heck did Vashon Island ever get a clinic for our community? I have with me Opal Montague, who is one of the co-founders of our island's clinic here. She and Dorothy Johnson helped to put together the clinic starting as early as 1969 with their work. Welcome, Opal. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for asking me.
So, when did you and Dorothy Johnson first think about the fact that Vashon Island needs a health clinic or needed a health clinic?
Well, our first thoughts came because we had two doctors, and one of them had decided to leave because he didn't think the practice was going to grow fast enough for him, I think. So he left, and then we said, although, no, then we had Dr. Osborne, and Dr. Osborne said, I'll be up every night, and I can't do that, and we need more help. So Dorothy and I thought about that, and we decided that everybody ought to put their oar in here. Because maybe we were misjudging the situation and that medical help over town was enough, but we didn't think it was. But we wrote a survey for everybody on the island, and we managed to get to everybody on the island with various stratagems. Mostly we broke it up and found 100 people in different spots to take this survey to everybody on the island. It was not specifically, we talked to a survey company and paid them to tell us how not to slant it. And so I think they did a good job for us. So we did this, and what emerged, really, one of the big things was healthcare.
What were some of the others? What were the other
things?
You know,
you're going to ask me questions that I don't remember. This was 60 years ago, and I honestly, you know, there would be the ferry problems, the same problems we have today, really. But we needed to, of course, we had a goal there. So we focused on that goal. And we did that. And then what emerged was, yes, we need more health care, just like Dr. Osborne said.
And well, it sounds to me also like by sending out that survey to everyone on the island, you awakened interest in the fact that there might be a possibility for a clinic or a need.
A need for something. Mm-hmm. So we focused on what the need could be, and we wrote the early thing we did was write a grant to train nurse practitioners. So because we couldn't get a doctor, they tried a little bit, Dr. Osborne had helped, but we trained the second, third, and fourth nurse practitioners to ever emerge from the nurse practitioner program at the University of Washington. So we wrote a grant big enough, I don't remember how big, you know, $100,000, to send them to be trained. And that took a year. And they were, and the first thing we did then was go to Burton and rent a little house for them.
For the nurse practitioners?
For the nurse practitioners.
And the one physician?
No. Yes, in a way, because he would come. They couldn't write prescriptions. They couldn't do a number of things, but they could do a lot more than just nurses. They could write some things. So we found a doctor who would come one afternoon a week, and then they were able to function under him. Or her, I don't remember who it was now. And so that's how we started.
Do you remember where you got that first grant?
Probably from the federal government, who was very interested in medically underserved areas. Hmm. And we qualified as a medically underserved area. And so that was with the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. It used to be, they called it HUE. They've taken out welfare, but it's now health and education. So we qualified under that and got enough money to train and these women that we wanted. And we know that we knew the specific women because they were already working for us a little bit.
Were they islanders?
Yes. Too?
So you found three women on the island who wanted to be nurse practitioners.
Yes.
And you trained them. That is taking the bull by the horns, I have
it
to
was.
Say.
Yes, because they came back and worked here, all three of them.
That's amazing.
Well, it's what you did.
Do you remember what the population of the island was at that time?
Yes, it was about 6,000.
So it's doubled, almost doubled.
Yes,
since
but
then.
In a long time, because you see, that was 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we really did double very slowly. I mean, that's still not very high density. So
no, we're still not. I wouldn't call us densely populated
no.
at this point. I'm talking with Opal Montague, one of the co-founders with Dorothy Johnson of the Vashon Island Clinic and eventually Granny's Attic. So you got a grant to open that first clinic in a little house in Burton with three nurse practitioners and one part-time physician. How long
he wasn't even here every week, but he was always available for phone and consultation, and so it worked out just fine.
So you were serving the needs of the island, the healthcare needs of the island at that time?
Yes. It became a little bit of a problem because they thought we were a fleek. They had free clinics in Seattle at that time.
Oh.
And we were not a free clinic. We didn't qualify as free. And people thought we were, but we couldn't do that. We had not enough funding to do that.
How long did that initial funding last?
I think a couple of years. And then we were so busy and could afford a physician too. So we moved uptown into what is now the Fair Isle Vet Clinic.
Oh.
So that's where we were for two or three years. And that worked fine. We had a doctor there who was, I don't remember how many hours, but days a week instead of an afternoon a week.
So you managed to stretch that initial grant for as long as 3 years? Is that right? Am I getting that right?
You know, I don't remember exactly. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But
I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
We were up there, and then the Nike site became available, and every realtor and we wanted it. And so, you know, it was up for grabs in a way, but we wrote a grant and asked if we could use it, not the housing section, but the 14 acres and the 9 buildings, including this one we're recording in.
We are recording in the Sunrise Ridge Voice of Vashon studio. Yes. Next door to the food bank right now. And so you were in this building as well?
Yes, we got all 9 buildings. And that was way too much for us, but we figured we could figure out what to do with them. And they had to be, finally they decided that we were well qualified as a nonprofit organization, but that the Federal Surplus Property Division of Hugh decided we were fine, and so they gave it to us for $1 a year for 30 years because that's the period of time that they require as they watch us to be sure we do what we said we were going to do, which was put in nonprofit organizations up here, primarily healthcare. So in some way, they were related to healthcare, you know, like the food bank or whatever qualified.
Did the food bank move up here with
yes.
you in close proximity?
Okay. I'm sorry.
So
I don't remember what was simultaneous or the sequential things of everything.
Do you remember when that 30-year dollar-a-year lease ended?
Yes, that was about 2007, and we had a celebration, I remember, because we'd done just fine. We made one mistake in that time. I can't remember how we made the mistake, but we rented to a profit-making organization thinking they were a community good, and they were. I don't remember who.
Uh-huh.
But we had to pay a fine of, I don't remember, $1,000 maybe, for having made a mistake.
You guys must be incredibly good grant writers to
yes.
have gotten one grant after another.
Yes, we have.
Essentially,
we got a $200,000 grant to remodel the central core of the building in which the health center is now. Just the office, some exam rooms, doctor rooms, and an x-ray.
You had an x-ray machine.
Yes, but it was really neither the south nor the north end of that building we did nothing with right then, because what we did cost the whole $200,000.
Were you using island contractors and volunteer help to get all this work done?
A lot of volunteer help, but the core of it was, and I don't remember, we put it out for bids, and we had to, and I don't remember who did it, and I'm sorry, but
that's okay. They may not be working anymore anyway. All of this money then throughout this process came from HEW, right?
Yes, yes.
When did Granny's Attic start to take shape?
Well, I have to go backwards a little bit, because in the little building down at Burton, which was behind the store, you can't see it now, but if you go to, it's right behind it. There's a driveway back uh-huh. to it. And we got a bunch of volunteers to volunteer as office receptionists and to answer the phones.
Uh-huh.
So that had to cover 5 days a week and 8 hours a day. So that was a lot of volunteers. So then when we got more financially secure and we were uptown, why, these volunteers decided to be money-raising volunteers.
Oh.
So that's why they did it out of, you know, kind of haphazard, but Dorothy organized it, really. And so we used the volunteers. And then the minute we came up here, they continued to do that, but it was money-raising.
Okay, now I need to ask you, what is that? What is it those volunteers were doing to raise money? Was it legal?
Oh, I take it back. They kind of moved into a building at Center for a while, and it was cake sales. It was anything they could do to raise money. And it wasn't a lot of money, but it was enough to keep us solvent for a while.
And it was perfectly legal.
I'm sorry?
It was legal?
Oh, yes.
No. Well, you know, Vashon had a reputation at that time.
It did.
For some things that weren't so legal.
No, we were strictly legal because, of course, we made one mistake and it cost money.
So you learned your lesson fast.
Didn't want to do that again.
So Dorothy started organizing these volunteers.
Yes.
Who were raising money to keep the clinic going.
Yes.
And the clinic was apparently growing a bit. Is that correct?
Pardon me?
The clinic was growing?
Yes, because by the time we moved up here, we had several doctors. I don't remember how many, but at least two, or two and a half, you know, they'll divide it with someplace else.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then that grew and grew. And as we needed more space, we did get, I should have put my husband in here, because at some place, we went to he was president of the community council then,
uh-huh.
and we wanted they're to be happy with us. And so they sponsored us in a certain sense as the only government on the island.
Did that include funding of any sort, or was it just...
No, they didn't have any money either.
Philosophical support.
Yes, it was courtesy and a name behind us.
I see.
And I forgot that earlier, but I should have put that in before, because all along then, they were helpful.
That was the Vashon Community Council, which was...
it was called the Civic Assembly then.
Oh, the Civic Assembly.
Because somebody else already got to Olympia before we did, when that was established. That's a whole different story.
So, well, let me ask you this. Was that organization, the Civic Assembly, connected to or liaison to the state or to King County?
Neither, really.
Oh.
It was, and it still is not. It's a courtesy for the county to ask us what we want here.
Yes, we know. And just as an aside, we did lose our community council several years ago, imploded.
That's always been iffy.
It has.
So it was then.
You're listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Susan McCabe, your host. I'm here talking with Opal Montague, one of the co-founders of our island clinic and of Granny's Attic. And we can do this thanks to Windermere Vashon Real Estate, who make our emergency alert service and all our community information possible. Opal, you mentioned that at this point you had grants from HEW, you had support from the community council or community assembly, civic assembly at the time, and the clinic was growing. How did you assess the growing needs of the island at that point? You did a survey to start the whole clinic. Did you continue asking people what they needed, or was it just obvious?
No, we didn't. We didn't ask again. But the money came to us through things like medically underserved areas. I don't remember how long that lasted, but for quite a while. And then it picked up, and we did fine. And then we did a lot of volunteer work, both the north and the south end of the first building was done by volunteers, a lot of it.
So it was remodeled by volunteers?
Yes.
That's most impressive.
It was, but then it would be part contractor done and part volunteers. But lots and lots of volunteers helped.
And those contractors just made sure the volunteers hammered the nails in the right places.
Yes.
Yes. So tell us more about Granny's Attic and how Granny's Attic developed from these volunteers who were selling baked goods and whatever else. What happened then? Where did Granny's Attic...
Well, after they were no longer needed as receptionists in town, because we had enough of receptionists here who were paid, then they began various ways to raise money, and then they... Where did they come first? Oh, we gave them building two after we... which is the second building up the drive as you come up the driveway.
Yeah, so let's see. Granny's Attic, before it moved from Sunrise Ridge,
yes,
used to be in the biggest building that you see as you come up the driveway. But
the
you're
second.
Saying it started in the second building.
Yes. And then they also had a workshop up here in... one of probably this building.
Yes. We actually, Voice of Vashon remodeled from that.
Yes.
And that was called the Grandpa's Shop, wasn't it?
Yes.
And what did they do there?
Well, they did all this stuff began to come up here, just, you know, truckloads of good stuff, but it had to be analyzed for what they could do. And the Granny's Attic Grandpas decided they would be very careful with electrical appliances. They would not repair them except unless they needed just a plug-in or something that not interfering with their lifetime, I guess, in these these appliances. So, but they could repair wooden furniture. They could reupholster a chair that just needed a seat, or, you know, they could do lots of work, and they did. But just they had to be very careful because of fire and other injuries that they, so they also had to not do some of that stuff that they would have had there not been a lot of liability involved.
Ah, so what you're saying is that the grandpas were working with the stuff that came here,
yes,
that was donated to Granny's Attic in order to protect the people who bought it.
And keep yes, it safe. And yeah, we could not work on stuff that might be hazardous.
Right, right.
So
I'm curious that it sounds as though the whole Granny's Attic idea of donating stuff folks didn't want anymore kind of exploded. How did you get this message out? How did people know that Granny's Attic existed and they could bring things?
You know, I don't exactly remember, but it was, no, I'm sorry, I don't remember. I think it just came because everybody came here for healthcare, not everybody, but a lot of most, you know, a lot of the island, and I think everybody knew about Granny's Attic, I think.
So you didn't do any publicity?
Nothing that we had to pay for, not that I remember.
So you guys had a really good system going.
Well, and there were good articles in the paper because they were specialty, you know, all this good stuff was being saved. I remember one of the first things that happened was one of the people I knew said, you know, going to the dump isn't fun anymore because all the stuff goes to Granny's. And she's right. The people used to, when there was no Granny's, they would go to the dump, and that was when it was unorganized, and they would leave stuff on the perimeter of the dump in case somebody else wanted it, and they did. So the dump wasn't fun anymore.
Always very informal and organic. How very Vashon that is.
Yes.
Opal, how do you feel now when you see both the clinic, what that has become, and Granny's Attic, which has become, I call it methadone for shopaholics here on the island. It's a place where everybody goes Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and you got to get there early to get the good stuff. How do you feel when you look at that, when you see what that has become?
Well, I'm just delighted. It would never have occurred to me would have gone big time like that on the island because we just started little and little in both cases about the clinic and Granny's, and it just grew. You couldn't stop it, I don't think.
Well, obviously, you found an idea that had found its time.
And whatever works, you do, don't you, to prolong or preserve what you have.
How much time each day were you putting into keeping the clinic and Granny's Attic going, along with those other volunteers?
Oh, my goodness, who knows? I have lots of time, but I don't know how much at all. Because you just did it, and there were lots of volunteers. And we helped each other. And I have no answer, good one, for that.
Did you have a family at the time?
Pardon me?
Did you have a family at the time?
Sure.
Kids?
We had four children, and we were busy at home. Everybody was. And we have a little farm, and we raise sheep and horses and stuff. Not anymore. I just have sheep, but...
Oh,
well,
just,
you know,
sheep.
Yeah. You got to have something on 20 acres or... it'll go up to blackberries and Scotch broom. So
yes, right. So you still manage 20 acres
well,
of land.
Well, my son helps me mostly. I can't do a lot. I'm 92, and so I don't do. I do some. I've got a little tractor, and I can drive out in the fields and pick up logs that fell off the trees and stuff. But and I like to do that.
Where do you get your energy?
You think I have some?
Obviously, you've had some for 60 years.
Well, yes. Yes, we all did. I mean, Yes, it was mostly it was fun.
What
so
would
I'm
you,
lucky to still be able to do some of it.
Yeah. What would you like people to remember about Dorothy Johnson, about your initial efforts, and about the beginnings of the health clinic in Granny's Attic? What do you want people to know the most?
I think that Lotus, her daughter, and family are doing a good job of telling people what Dorothy did, and she would like that. I think she wanted everybody to remember our beginnings because they were so exciting or good things for us to do. And so I think she would be pleased that you are interested enough to do these things for her. Yes.
It's a wonderful story, and I think a testament to this island and the kind of people that come here, because it is a choice to live here.
Yes.
You don't just get dropped here because you have a job.
No.
And
I do think it's different than like in Seattle. It's much more cohesive a community, and you could do that then, and you still can. I think you all guys, you are still doing that things that are progressive and thoughtful about the future and the environment. And I think this was part of it. Saving these 14 acres has been a fine achievement because the things that happened here have changed and grown, but a lot, basically, environmentally, I think it's been a great thing to have done as well as all the good things like healthcare and providing Granny's Attic.
Well, Opal, I can't thank you enough for what you've done for all of us who are here now. We wouldn't have this healthcare clinic, and we wouldn't have methadone for shopaholics at Granny's Attic if it had not been for you and Dorothy Johnson and all those wonderful volunteers who canvassed the entire island to find out what we needed and then made it happen. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm pleased to have been able to meet you and talk about it because, yes, it was important to us, and it was important at the time very much. So you're welcome.
It's important still. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Just so you all know, the current clinic is Neighbor Care Health Clinic here up at Sunrise Ridge. And in order for them to continue to be available for us, we need to use it. So I want to urge everybody to use Neighbor Care Health. This has been Real Talk. We've been talking with Opal Montague, one of the co-founders of Granny's Attic and the health clinic here. I'm Susan McCabe, your host. You can listen to us every Tuesday at lunchtime. Thanks for joining us. And I want to thank the composer of our theme music, Luke McQuillan. Thanks for listening.